This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season! My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Bay Area, this is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, hanging out at Splash, where it's starting to ramp up a little bit here, okay? We're getting from the morning games to the afternoon games to a little bit closer to our game, Warriors and Raptors, here tonight at Chase Center. We're at Splash, where the vibes are all the way up. The food is delicious, and the TVs are plentiful, man. This is almost more than I can take in. And I thought, by the way, real quick on this, what the hell do I know? Like, I'll be the first to tell you, I don't watch a whole lot of college hoops leading up, but my gut was telling me we were going to have kind of a chalky tournament, and I don't think that's been blown up as of yet, but I don't know if it's felt very chalky today. There have been a few games that have caught my eye, and I know this was just an 8-9 game, but like Gonzaga, Georgia didn't even belong on the floor with them.
Game was over 5 minutes in.
I mean, it was 11 to nothing. I thought they were going to use the skunk rule. And
both 8-9 games have been not competitive.
No, not at all. So there have been a couple of eyebrow raisers for sure.
McNeese, 12 seed over 5 seed Clemson, although that was kind of a popular upset pick.
All the 12s were.
Yeah.
I think it was Dibs last week who said take all the 12s. And I think I did except for that one. But Clemson did almost come all the way back. Ended up losing it by 2, but we hope good things for your brackets. Grandy has some things to get to about Jonathan Kuminga. We're going to do that in a minute, but let's get to your calls. Rob Parker hates Steph Curry, whatever. We can move on to all things Warriors. 888-957-9570 as we get ready for another one. Pat in Foster City. Hey, Pat, thanks for calling.
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking the call. You know, I had a question for you guys. I wasn't able to research it myself, and I'm a Steph lover, so I'm not a Steph hater. I'm a Steph lover. But I wonder, you know, who's had more turnovers in the past 10 years in the league than Steph Curry? Anybody? I don't know. I don't know the answer, but he's got to be way up there, right?
I'll see if we can look that up. Most turnovers, you're saying in the last 10 years?
10 years, or even during his career. Even during his career, I think he's got to be up there in the top five in the league for sure, I would think.
Since 2009, I actually have a list right here. Since 2009, 2010, Steph Curry is number four in the NBA in turnovers. Okay. Pat, I'm going to give you a shot to nail the three names who have turned it over more than Steph since 2010. And if you get all three right, I don't know. I'll come back to my roots there in Foster City and buy you a coffee one of these days. How about that?
Well, all right. Well, maybe Westbrook, maybe.
Okay, keep going. You have to guess all three.
All right. Boy, now it's getting tough. I guess maybe LeBron.
Okay, what's your third guess?
And third, maybe. Oh boy, this is for a drink here. It's in Foster City, huh?
So I know there's a Starbucks right there off the freeway. We can do this.
Yeah, there is. You know, I can't come up with a third. That's the best I can do.
Well, I'm sorry. I was all ready to get your latte order.
You were two for two.
Two for two, Pat. You got both of the two you guessed right. James Harden is the other name.
Oh, James, there you go.
James Harden is the other name that we're looking for.
Thanks for that research.
And thanks for playing, Pat. We appreciate it.
Better luck next time.
Yeah, better luck. let's go to Reason in Benicia. Hey, Reason, what's happening?
Hello?
Hello?
What's up?
Hey, so I was... if Rob's going to say that field goal percentage is the greatest shooter of all time, Wilt had 54% and Jordan only had 49%. So you can't say that Jordan was the best shooter of all time. It was Wilt. But Wilt just put it in the basket. You know, I mean, it wasn't...
Yeah, the argument was full of holes.
You can't use logic with Rob.
We all know what Rob was doing. I told him off the top. If you miss our show and you want to be on, just call me. Just text me and say I want to come on. You don't need to say outlandish things about the greatest shooter of all time. All right, thank you, Reason. What's your turnover list? You have a different turnover list.
You have it from since 2010, the last 15 years. Yeah. I have it exactly in the last 10 years. It's a similar list. Harden, Westbrook, LeBron. Steph, though, is all the way down at number 10. I would imagine because he basically missed an entire season. And these turnover lists are essentially who has played and not gotten hurt and who has held the ball in their hands a lot. That's essentially what this list is.
Although, and what I'm looking at, you want to know what jumps out off the page?
What?
Steph Curry has, about 115 fewer turnovers than Trae Young in about 150.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
50 more games. Did everyone just catch what I just said? For those of you who freak out about the way Steph Curry takes care of the ball, Trae Young of the Hawks has more turnovers, significantly more, about 115 more turnovers in 150 fewer games. That's wild.
That is crazy.
That's wild.
That is crazy. Trae Young obviously hasn't been in the league for all 10 of those years, which is why he's only played that many games, 471 to 614 for Steph. But, I mean, there's no doubt Steph has some high-profile turnovers. I always think back to Game 7 of the NBA Finals against the Cavs, where he threw the behind-the-back pass to Clay along the right wing. That's the one that pops to mind, I think, for most. But the reality of it is, and it's why and part of the reason why Steph also has the most made threes in the NBA, because he's taken the most threes in NBA history. When you play a lot of minutes and you have the ball in your hands a lot, you are just bound to turn the ball over every once in a while.
Yeah.
Because you, I mean, these are all Hall of Fame players that are on the top of this list. James Harden, Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Nikola Jokic. That's the top five most turnovers in the NBA the last 10 years. That's because those guys have had the ball in their hands more often than anybody else through those 10 years.
Like, I can see right here also turnover rate, like, you know, who's two slots behind Steph has maybe about 150 fewer turnovers, but also has played in almost 200 fewer games is Luka.
Yeah.
So, I feel this way a lot about the stuff we talk about, and Steph Curry's turnovers is part of it. The reason I do think so many people think Steph Curry turns the ball over at a crazy rate is because those of us in the space here at 95.7 The Game who are talking about it are all emotionally invested in those turnovers. So you remember them a lot more. I actually don't think his turnover rate is any different than any of the other players who handle the ball a lot in the league. As we just said, if he's
turnovers per game. Turnovers per game in the last 10 years. James Harden, Trae Young, 4.3, the most in the last decade. You got to go all the way down to Steph at number nine. About 3.1 per game.
Would it shock you, Warrior fans, to learn that Steph Curry's turnover rate is the same or even below that of Kevin Durant? Kevin Durant turns the ball over more than Steph.
Giannis does. Joel Embiid does. Yeah.
So, I think that's it. We're just emotionally invested in all of this. Let's go to Eric in Millbrae on 95.7 The Game of Willard and Dibs. Grandy is here for Dibs. Obviously, it's March Madness. Hey, Eric, what's up?
What's up, guys? Yeah, I think Rob Parker just likes to be the ultimate hot taker to see what he can come up to get the most go viral. He's been doing it for years. I think his comments about Curry are ridiculous. Curry is probably as clutch as any player of this era in terms of hitting shots. Just because you don't hit a shot at the end of the game to win it in the final seconds doesn't mean it's not clutch. Clutch is what Curry has done pretty much throughout his career, and you can't say that last final in 22 in Boston is clutch as any player, where he single-handedly took over in the most hostile place in the league in Boston, ripping their souls out in that single-handedly putting that game away and closing them out. So I just, it's ridiculous. As far as turnover goes, when you handle the ball as much as he does, sure, he does get sloppy at times, but one thing about Curry is it's underrated. He's as great as a ball handler as there is. He's underrated in terms of his passing ability and his ball handling ability. So even though at times he has gotten sloppy with the ball, overall, for the most part, I think he's as consistent as anybody. That he's more of a combo guard. So he's not, even though he's considered a point guard, he's more of a combo guard in my mind. And I'll take his ball handling ability as good as anybody in the league. So all the critics that like nationally that think that Curry is just a great shooter are wrongly specify his skill set. He's so much more skilled than being the greatest shooter of this era. So guys like Parker and some of the hot takers out there in the national media need to recognize that.
Eric, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Agree with you across the board. And again, what we were just looking at, for somebody who carries the ball and does as much as he does on the court, it's pretty commensurate with the other stars out there as far as his turnover rate. I just think that, A, we're emotionally invested in Steph, and B, he does do things sometimes in a little bit of a flashy way. And when you make a flashy turnover, it ticks you off more.
Yeah, and you're just in those situations more often, you're going to be on the wrong end of it sometimes. It's like a shot blocker defensively who isn't afraid of getting posterized. Like, I'd rather have a guy who's been on a poster by Anthony Edwards 10 different times than someone who's not and just allows Ant to easily glide to the rim and dunk, because at least you're trying to defend it.
100%.
You put yourself in the situation to either make a block or to get embarrassed. I'd rather have the guy that is willing to get embarrassed sometimes, because some of the other times you're going to make a play that saves you 2 points.
Grandy in for Dibs, and we're hanging at Splash, getting ready for Warrior basketball later. Also watching all the college hoops madness. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, and now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Very, very excited to have Laughing Monk along for the ride. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco, multiple locations throughout the Bay. Thank you for that sound. That, for the first time, wasn't actually me. I've already had my sparkling water. But anyway, glad to have Laughing Monk along for the ride. All of us here at 95.7 The Game, so, so very excited about that. All right, we have now reached our Jonathan Kuminga portion of the program. What did you want to say about him today?
Jonathan Kuminga, I said this a little bit earlier in terms of, I think the Warriors have a ton of room to grow and to be better when the postseason comes around, and Kuminga just invariably is part of that, because he's the piece that is working his way back. And if he is able to slide into the role that the Warriors are asking him to fill, then I think they reach another level, because they don't have right now someone who they can bring off the bench and who can fill a dunker spot, who can slash, who can be a point of attack defender, who can get on the offensive glass, who can drive when the shot clock is running down, get to the rim, get to the free throw line, and give them an easy 12 or 14 points off the bench. That gives them something that they don't have. So if he can do that, and he's capable of doing it, the Warriors reach a different level in my mind, and then I start really, really taking seriously their chances of getting out of the West, or at the very least, making the Western Conference Finals. I don't know if they have enough offensive firepower when it gets, you know, to the clutch time in the playoffs, unless they get the best out of Jonathan Kuminga. But where I'm a little concerned, Willard,
yep,
is I'm not sure if Kuminga's going to feel like that's enough for him personally. And we might get to a point where he's pressing a little bit. I thought the moment in the second half, in the third quarter, here at Chase Center on Tuesday, when he's under the basket trying to get away from Gary Trent Jr., and you can tell he was kind of in a little bit of a funk, frustrated, which is natural. This shouldn't be easy. It's not easy. It's difficult to come back after 2 months off. And he throws Gary Trent Jr. to the ground and gets called for an offensive foul and a flagrant foul. That felt to me like a little bit of that frustration coming out. Like, he's pressing just a little bit. And I'm a little concerned that he might get to a point leading up to the postseason or in the postseason where he feels like he's capable of doing more at the Warriors, because of what this team is now. They don't need that more from him. They just need those 12 points off the bench every game.
I think it's a valid point, and it is part of what we were concerned about before he came back. I will tell you, I've been completely satisfied, impressed, comforted, whatever word you want to use, with regard to Jonathan Kuminga and the way he's gone about this return from a mental standpoint. I loved his comments after the first game back. I think that was against Sacramento,
yep,
right?
Where he 18 points,
and he talked about the nerves involved of, like, not wanting to come in and mess things up. I was like, that's all I really need to hear. What I didn't want to hear or see is Jonathan going out there there and really like looking for his because the contract is on his mind or whatever. And even though you may see that in moments, I think largely Jonathan's got his head screwed on straight. So here's what I'd love to see this fan base do going forward for this year. I don't know about next year, but for this year, here's what I'd love to see the fan base do with Jonathan Kuminga. Just root for him like you would any other role player. I think that the problem we're having is that the fan base can't seem to figure out if Kuminga's a role player or a key player. And that, to me, is the rub. It's not any longer really about this conversation of, do you think he's a future all-star? Do you think he's great? Do you think he's good? Do you think Steve Kerr's holding him down? I kind of want to push that to the side for the moment, because now that's not the goal anymore. The goal is this year, right now, win basketball games and make a playoff run. So I don't really care if he earns $25 or $30 million. I don't really care if someday he might be the one. Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry are not just here now. They're both signed for at least two more years, which means there's no real room for anybody else, in my opinion, to be a 20 to 25 point per game kind of a guy. That ask is now gone. You acquired Jimmy Butler. So if Moses Moody or Quentin Post or even Buddy Hield goes out and has a bad game, we sort of shrug it off. You might be frustrated by Buddy, but we sort of shrug it off as like, yeah, you have some good nights and you have some bad nights. I'd like to put Jonathan Kuminga in that group. I know his ceiling is higher. This particular team is really not going to ask much more from him. Do your job in your 20 minutes and contribute to winning. That's it.
I hear you, and I agree with you 100%, but I think the rub here is... and this isn't just me talking about your opinion. It's any fan's opinion. It's any outside opinion. I don't really care about any outside opinion. I don't really care what you think Kuminga's best role. I care what Kuminga thinks he should be doing, how he should be contributing.
No, that's fair.
If Kuminga feels like I can help this team do more, and he feels like I got to go out there and score, even with everything that I'm sure Steve Kerr and the whole coaching staff, and I'm sure Steph and Jimmy and Dre are telling him, It's difficult for me to put myself in Kuminga's shoes, knowing I have a contract discussion coming up this offseason. I'm restricted. There's not a lot of teams out there who have cap space to make me an offer that I frankly would jump at signing. I'm running out of time to make that impression and to prove my worth. So I get a little concerned about how he views what his role should be, and if he thinks, you know, being a 12-point per game score in 20 minutes a night off the bench is enough for him to prove his worth. And the Warriors could say to him, and I'm sure they have, you fill this role, you will be paid handsomely. But the Warriors also have a vested interest in not paying him as much as they have to.
No doubt, and wanting him to stay and all of those things. Look, what you're talking about does happen in the NBA. It flat out does, and we don't need to look far for examples. I can remember, and this is my opinion, and I hate bringing it up because it gets everybody all ruffled and freaking out and hair on back of neck and all those things. But I can remember 3 years ago wondering how Jordan Poole was going to feel about coming off of the bench come contract time, because NBA players who are that dynamic offensively, they see themselves as ones, future ones. And a future one, that's where we stop talking about $20 million and we start talking about $60 million. And when that's a possibility, it scrambles your brains and you stop caring about winning. I'm not saying Jordan stopped caring about winning, but my point is, like, maybe a better example, I can remember once upon a time when Tracy McGrady and Vince Carter were teammates. And Tracy McGrady was about to be a free agent, and his mom literally went public and went, it's Tracy's time now. He ain't a two. It's time for Tracy to be a one. And that was the end of that. And he went to Orlando, and it turns out neither one of them ever won a damn thing. And maybe they could have if they would have stayed together and been like, what about co-ones? What if we work together on this? So what I'm looking for from Jonathan, and this is why I feel all the things I felt about the Poole situation, Draymond, not okay, all of that. But what you noticed was veterans consistently getting sort of frustrated by the way Jordan was behaving, whether it was Klay Thompson poking fun at him overseas, whether it was throwing mouthpieces, throwing hands up, walking off the court. There was frustration there because I think they looked at Jordan as somebody who was butting his head up against a glass ceiling. I want to go higher. I don't see that from Jonathan. I actually see the opposite. I see the veterans almost trying to tell him what he can be someday. But I don't think Jonathan is doing that to this team. I don't think behind, I know he wants to start, but behind the scenes, I think Jonathan has made a lot of good decisions. And what it comes down to is your focus on winning or is your focus on performing? And I do think his focus is on winning.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And I think where my fear or my hesitation comes isn't necessarily like anything to do with Kuminga himself. I think it's more so human nature to feel that way. Like, I try to put myself in that situation. You could put yourself in your situation at your job, whatever you do for a living, and you find yourself kind of naturally competing with your coworkers to prove your worth.
Absolutely.
Like, that's what everybody does.
Of course.
And it's kind of natural not to necessarily like think of a me first, putting myself above the team, but you like try to measure yourself against your colleagues and your coworkers, and you say, I'm going to prove that I'm more valuable than this guy, so when the conversation comes, you got to keep one, cut one, you got to pay one more than the other, I'm going to be the one that makes more. And I can totally feel that pressure on someone like Jonathan Kuminga. I think the other part of this, Willard, is I wouldn't be so fearful or wary of that feeling if I didn't have confidence that Kuminga has that, you know, potential star ability in him. Like, if it was Moses Moody who was due a contract this summer, like, it would still be a topic, but I don't view Moses as a potential all-star. Like, he's been really darn good, but the ceiling that Kuminga could potentially reach if he reaches his full potential, like, it's honestly, it's a compliment that I'm doing a real oversell job here, but it's a compliment to Kuminga that I am potentially concerned about how this season is going to go, because I believe, and I know that he believes, he's so capable of much more than what the Warriors are asking him to do.
I see that. I guess for me, I feel like the acquisition of Jimmy Butler has pushed that conversation down the road.
But for Kuminga's perspective, he doesn't have much more time before he has to come to a conclusion.
That's life, man.
It is.
That's life. I don't think, if he wants that job, it's not going to happen here anytime soon. And quite frankly, you know, that's a question for the offseason. Does somebody come in and try to break the bank with him and he wants to go somewhere else and grow? I've heard plenty of people say Jonathan got drafted to the wrong spot for Jonathan.
He sees all his colleagues, fellow draftees from that year getting paid big bucks already.
Maybe he does feel that way, maybe he doesn't. But as a Warrior fan, all I want to know right now is, when you get sent out onto the court, are you making good decisions and do you want to win the basketball game? Rather than worry about what the box score is doing. And so far, I see the answers I hope for as a fan from Jonathan. But I get it. What do y'all think? You got any Jonathan Kuminga concerns now that we are four games into his return, getting ready for his fifth here in just a few hours? This hour is brought to you by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. We're here at Splash just outside Thrive City, Chase Center, Warriors and Raptors tonight, and all of the college hoops unfolding in front of our eyes. Glad you're with us. We'll take your calls next. 888-957-9570. Willard and Dibb.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacead. Find out more and see the university studies at almacead.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.